Welcome to Winning Ways Express with Andy Yorsa, resident pastor of KICC Ghana. We pray that as you listen to the message today, you will be challenged to live the victorious life that God has promised us.
Indeed said. That was his first move. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And as you know, that's not what God said. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree? How can God give that kind of instruction? Don't eat of every tree. But he says, has God indeed said? And unfortunately, Eve fell for it. And she started talking. She started talking. An illegal conversation. It was not the devil that spoke to her in the beginning. It was God that gave the instruction. So why are you discussing God's instruction with someone else? And she starts and says, we may not eat of the fruit of, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And then he goes and asks, but of the fruit of the tree, which is the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That's another story, because God didn't add touching to it. But she also added her own one to it. Simply because the enemy managed to engage her to check and challenge the validity of the word, to check whether the word, are you sure God said? Have you ever received a spoken word in a service and the first thing that comes to your mind as you walk out of the service is, are you sure God told you? Anybody been there before? That is master plan. Has God indeed said? You walk out of the service saying, praise God. The next thing that hits you, bang. Are you sure that was God? Because he's looking to steal that thing before it stays too long. Because when the seed stays in the soil for too long and it's being watered, it will start to grow roots. And when it starts to grow roots, you know it's on its way to bearing fruit. And so as soon as the seed lands in the soil, he wants to dig it up quickly. If he can dig it up, then it's gone. But that battle is not fought in the natural. That battle is always fought in the mind. That's why I was asking at the beginning, have you seen the devil coming to steal the word before? You have not seen him with the eyes. But what you first hear is, has God indeed said? Are you sure that that word is for you? Are you sure that that word still works? The battle is always in the mind. He comes. He is the thief. He comes to steal, to kill and destroy. That is his job. Once the word comes, he's looking after it. But thank God that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are what? Mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5 tells us. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Unfortunately, most people don't do this kind of prayer. Bringing every thought into captivity. When it comes to the battle of the mind, you should have dominion. Any thought that appears in your mind that is not of God, you have authority through prayer to bring it quickly into captivity. It says to the obedience of Christ. If it doesn't match the word, you have authority to say in the name of Jesus, I get rid of this thought right now. What God has said will be my portion. I reject this thought right now in Jesus' name. I know that word is for me and it will work in my life. It's a seed that has been sown in my life. I am not giving it up. It's a battle, my brother. It's a battle. If you go to sleep when you receive the word, by the time you wake up, you won't find it. He comes immediately looking to steal the thing. For some people, the service doesn't even end. They have been robbed. By the time they get up from their seat, they are going home empty-handed. They've been robbed. That's not your portion. Learn to fight for your seed because it is a battle. You are hearing in your mind, has God indeed said? Has he said? Because there's a battle going on. He wants to steal. But learn to reject it every time. Every time it comes to your mind, fire back a prayer against it. It should be a regular thing.
It should be a regular thing. And, you know, and that kind of prayer is not one that you do with much drama. No, that kind of prayer, you actually do the prayer without even speaking, most of the time without even speaking verbally. Because the place where you were, maybe you may even be, you may be in the office, and it just hits your mind all of a sudden. You just declare right now, I bring that thought down. I reject that thought right now. That's not me. That's not my portion. I reject it in Jesus' name. You don't have to even say it. You just declare it in your mind and you continue. And I can tell you, it works. Because it happens to every one of us. Oh yes, it happens to every one of us. Whenever the word is sown, the first thing is you have the devil trying to steal the word from you. Then it says, apart from that, verse 16 of Mark 4, it moves on to the next one and says, likewise, those that are sown on stony ground, when they hear the word, it says, immediately they receive it with gladness. Praise God. They receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, take note, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, there's a very interesting thing there. There are two immediately's there. When the word comes out, it says immediately they receive it with gladness. So the word comes out, they jump to their feet, they receive it, they say, wow! Powerful word. This is the key to the breakthrough I'm looking for. Immediately they receive it with gladness. But it says, because they have no root in themselves, they endure, but they endure only for a time. Because as time passes, tribulation and persecution starts to arise. But it says, it is not just persecution for persecution's sake. Persecution for the word's sake. Why? Because once again, this persecution has a target. It's looking for the word. Remember, the word is a seed. The seed has life. The seed carries the authority of God. And so persecution that will attack the word that you have received. And it says persecution for the word's sake. It arises and immediately, the same zeal with which they received the word, with gladness, immediately they stumble. Immediately they are gone. So this time it's not stolen word. This time is persecuted. It's persecuted where they start by receiving the word with gladness. You are excited. You hold on to the word for a while, but it says, as soon as persecution arises for the word's sake, you drop the word immediately. You drop the word immediately. When you receive the word of God, one of the things you have to take note of, one of the ways that sometimes the enemy will attack us by trying to persecute for the word's sake, he will mock you for trying to hold on to that word. Because he couldn't steal that word from you. Now he will try to mock you. Mock you for the steps that you want to take in response to the word. And if you listen to the mockery and you give in to the mockery, before you realize you have given up on the word of God. The mistake we sometimes make, we receive the word of God as we did in the conference. And when we finish, we go on social media to look for confirmation. You will find exactly the opposite. You will find what will attack the word that you are holding. You will be mocked for taking any prophetic action. You'll be mocked for giving. You'll be mocked for praying. Even prayer. You'll be mocked for praying. You will see somebody says, Abba, you know, Why, you people, you are always praying. You are always praying. If you want to be productive, work. If you go into the Word of God, you will see there's a careful balance of the two. Scripture never says that people should be lazy. You only have to read the book of Proverbs. You will know straight away that laziness is the biggest enemy of any Christian. But we need to understand something when it comes to this area. Don't open your ears and your eyes to persecution that is after the spoken word you have received. Because you need to understand this. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, explained this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Then he says in verse 14, let's read it together, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual things look ridiculous. They look foolish to the natural man. When you receive the Word of God, you receive the spoken word of God over your life, you don't go opening yourself up to persecution from a natural man who cannot understand and conceive the spiritual things. They cannot understand it. Imagine the same natural man that you are busy reading from. If that natural man was around when Jesus wanted to heal a man in John chapter 9, in John chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, Jesus wanted to heal this man. And just imagine this happening today. Just imagine this happening today. He says, when he has said these things, he spat on the ground. And this is not spiritual language. It's literal. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. I told you it's not spiritual language. So don't say, oh, when he says he spat, he meant something. It doesn't mean anything. He spat on the ground. Mixed the clay with saliva. And he anointed anointing of a different kind. He anointed the eyes of the blind with the clay. Just imagine. This is New Testament. There are several in the Old Testament. I didn't want to go to Old Testament. So you can come and tell me that, oh, you are in the New Dispensation. I'm bringing you into the New Dispensation. Let's talk New Testament. Mixed it with the clay. And then he says to him, go. Wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went. He went to where he was sent, and he came back with a testimony. Because it's not just about going because the thing is there. No, this was under prophetic instruction. So he went to the pool called sent, and he came back seeing. Can you imagine the natural man was there watching? See Jesus spit, miss it on the ground. What's he doing? What's he doing? He say, come here, put it on the guy's eyes. Can you not find a better way of doing it? The natural man cannot discern spiritual things, but they are foolishness to him. So the natural man, when he sees spiritual things, will talk by heart. Do not be engaging in conversations with the natural man about spiritual things, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. If you start engaging with the natural man about spiritual things that you have received from the word, by the time they finish, he would have killed that seed in your hands. Fight for your seed. If you go having those kinds of conversations, by the time you are done, he has killed that seed. Because he's a natural man. He cannot even discern the things of the spirit. Cannot discern them. The persecution is coming, looking for the word. Looking for the word. You said to yourself, I'm going to sow. I'm going to do this. You say, why are you going to sow? Keep the money for yourself. The natural man is thinking purely naturally. You can't blame them. But if you open the door of that persecution, it's coming after the seed. It's coming after that seed that has been sown into your life. And that is where people get into trouble. So they receive the word with gladness, immediately with gladness. But as soon as this persecution happens, immediately they drop the word. The same people drop it. They just drop it. Like I said, many are the examples. I mean, think about the widow of Zarephath. Think about the widow of Zarephath, for example. 1 Kings 17, the widow of Zarephath. Time will not allow me to read it. The same. Someone who is about to prepare their last meal. And they receive an instruction. Prepare for Elijah first. How? The natural man can never understand that. But that action totally transformed her life. The widow, the son, their household, they ate for many days. They were exempted from the drought because they took that step. Many other examples. In Luke 8, in verse 3, tells us of people like Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Susanna, that provided for Jesus with their substance. The natural man will say, but why don't you use this money for yourself? Why are you using it for some man called Jesus? The natural man cannot discern spiritual things. Be careful who you dissect the word of God with. Because if you open it up to the natural man, you are going to end up in trouble. So they received the word with gladness. But unfortunately, persecution came and they lost it. Let me quickly add the third one to it. Jesus is explaining what happens to the word. It says in verse 18 of Mark 4 that now these are the ones who were sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. They hear the word. But then it says three things happen. They hear the word. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The first one is stolen. The second one is persecuted. This one is choked. Choked. In other words, the word, the seed, is not given enough space to operate. So it is choked until it dies. Choked. But how does it get choked? It says there are three things. They hear the word, but they are confronted with three things. They are confronted with, number one, the cares of the world. The cares of the world. Then the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things. The cares of this world. Oh, don't we all deal with the cares of this world? Jesus was addressing this issue in Matthew chapter 6. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, because from 26 all the way to 33, he talks about a number of things in that area. But he says specifically verse 26 to 29. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Is there anybody here who has worried before? Yeah, well, have you, if you are worried before, let me see your hand. I want to see those who have worried before. You are worried about something before. It's roughly the same number of people who are alive. He said, but which of you have, by worrying has added? He says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. The cares of this world, the worry. Oh, I need to do this thing. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, I need to do that. And have you noticed most of the time when the word of God comes to you, not too long after that, you are hit by something you are supposed to do. Another worry, another care. In 2 weeks' time, I'm supposed to do this for this and that. I'm supposed to pay this school fees. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to check this. There's always something that comes up. There's always something that comes up. The cares of this world. Or somebody calls from somewhere. Some relative calls with something. The cares of this world. Some of us, you find out, once you receive a major word and you're excited, you're about to run with it. Out of the blue, something happens. They call you, some family member is sick. And have you noticed sometimes we make statements that we don't even think about? You say, not at this time. When is a better time? There's never a better time. Just that you are reacting to it because you are thinking, but this is not the season. It was sent. It's on a mission. The cares of this world, when we allow them to enter that space, it will choke that word. Because then we are sitting there, we are thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Whenever I receive a word, and I make a decision, and this is a personal thing that I do. Whenever I receive the word and I make a decision, let's say I make a decision to sow seed, the next thing that will come to me is what I need to do with my money. Anybody been there before? I'm telling you my experience, not your experience, my experience. The next thing that comes to me, but you have not done this, you have not done this. And because the way my brain works, if I start to think a bit in that direction, I can give you a list of 10 things right now. But then when I caught this revelation, then I realized, this thing is on a mission. It's on a mission to choke the word in my life. The curse of this world. It says the curse of the world, not just the curse. Because see, the thing with the curse of this world is that they are valid. It is not sinful to plan. No, you have to plan. Scripture tells us, which one of you intending to build a tower will not sit down and count the cost, whether he has what it takes to finish it. But the way this care works is such that before you realize, it has choked the word in your life. I've seen people who have allowed the curse of this world to choke every single word in their lives that they end up never giving anything. And if you don't give, there's no harvest. So what are we going to do? You have broken the cycle. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of riches, that temptation to cut one corner, that temptation to just do something that nobody is seeing, you think, so that you can make a bit of profit. You introduce poison to the seed of the word. Then you have killed the seed. Let me tell you something. As your pastor, and it is so important we don't get these things wrong. Look, if you want the seed of the word to work in your life, no matter what anybody tells you, listen to me, people of God. Sin and the word of God, they don't go very well together. A life that is not straight and the spoken word, those two, they don't sit very well. So when you start to cut corners, usually what happens is that the Holy Spirit, being a gentleman, because he doesn't strive with man, will take a back seat and will allow you to do what you want to do. And you will reap the fruit of whatever it is you have sown, and will sit back, but it will not lead you. The Holy Spirit will not give you an idea how to put another zero behind somebody's check to make money. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the devil talking. Because remember, he is the thief himself, the master, and he's a liar by nature. That idea is not divine idea. It's a satanic idea. The deceitfulness for riches. Anything to do so that I can make some money fast because others are making it. No, that is not of God. That is not a blessing. Don't even make the mistake of calling it a testimony. It is not a testimony. If you call it a testimony, it's a testimony they give in hell. Because it has nothing to do with God. That's not a manifestation of that seed. Those things choke the seed. They choke it. It says the desire for other things. Oh, desire, desire, desire. May God help us from desire. May God help us from desire. It says this word I've received is good, but desire. My eyes are somewhere. You know, it tells us of Eve. In Genesis 3:6, it says of Eve, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, what did you do? Took of the fruit and ate. Despite what the word has said, when he opened the door to desire, and the thing with desire is that desire will come. Desire showing up in itself is not a sin. But what you do with desire is what matters. Pleasant to the eyes. when he saw that, she's not blind, when he saw the fruit looked pleasant. People of God, not everything that is desirable is for you. I knew your amen would be weak. I've heard like three people say amen. Not everything that is desirable is for you. That's how we choke the word in our lives. And then we try to find other ways to explain it. Let me show you in Colossians chapter 3, very quickly, verse 4 and 5. Give it in the Message translation. I like that one, the Message translation. Colossians 3, 4 and 5. Desire has killed a lot of people. The word is sown into your life. Let's read it together, verse 4 and 5. Ready and read. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you will show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Verse 5. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy.
If you've never had the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today believing that you sent Jesus to come and die for me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Father, I'm sorry for my sin, and I ask that you forgive me now. I accept your Son Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I commit my whole life into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, congratulations for praying this prayer. Now that you prayed this simple prayer, you are saved and part of God's family. According to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and John 1, 12. It is important now that you have made this major decision that you get yourself into regular fellowship with like-minded believers in Christ. So I will encourage you to join us at KICC Dominion Center of the Spinktest Road on Sunday, 7 a.m. or 10 a.m., whichever one suits you. You can also check on our website, kiccghana.com, for details of other KICC branches that may be nearest to you, or even any other Bible-believing church that you want to find yourself attending regularly. I strongly recommend that you follow us on social media. KICC Dominion Center is our handle. YouTube, Facebook, on Instagram, so that you can be blessed regularly by various messages. God bless you and welcome to the family.
Thank you for listening to Winning Ways Express. To request for this and any other messages, please contact KICC Ghana, Plot 71, after the Coca-Cola roundabout on the Spintex Road. Join the KICC family in worship this and every Sunday at 7:30 a.m. and 10 a.m. services at the KICC Ghana New Dominion Center, Plot 71, after the Coca-Cola roundabout on the Spintex Road. Or call 0243 69 0071 for further details.